Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
How you doing, Watoto? All right, here's what I want to do. We're going to pray, and I want everybody to just lift your hands in the air. Come on, everybody, all over the building, lift your hands. Elbows above the ears. That's a good prayer mode. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in and through this service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. But Lord, I believe at the end of this message, people will find you as Lord and Savior. By the end of this message, Father, we'll have heard from you. And everybody said, amen. Now very gently, give the person in front of you a gentle push. Give them a gentle push and say, push. All right, you can be seated. Sharon and I love everything that is Watoto. We love your pastors, your founding pastors, Gary and Marilyn. We love Jules. We love Eddie. We love the team. Thank you, Rogers, for all your hospitality this week. He has taken such good care of us. And I'm traveling, of course, with my wife and three guys who are from our church, or part of Ryan's from our church, really. These guys are just seasoned military people who've served God in the military faithful for many years. And they are so excited to be with you today. Two of them have been here before, but it's Dave's first time. Everybody say push. Say push. Come on, just give the person in front of you just one more push and say push. That's the title of my message. Let's get straight into this. 2 Kings chapter 8 and look at verse 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read it. It says, one day. Everybody say one day. And my Bible has it in brackets. It says, and it fell upon a day. I want you to notice it doesn't say it was a Monday. It wasn't the first day of the week. It wasn't a Sabbath. It wasn't a new moon. It wasn't a festival. It just says one day. Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. Obviously, the food was good because he came back. She said to her husband, I know this is a man of God who often comes our way. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, and that he can stay whenever he comes to us. And it fell upon a day that Elisha came. He went up to his room and he lay down, and he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, tell her you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people. She says, I'm good. The Bible says she's a well-to-do woman. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. And Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. How would you like to be that guy in the Bible where really the only mention of you is you're old? That would not be a good mention right there. And the Bible says, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. And he said, about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. Do you know, as I was praying about what would I share, I really felt like the Holy Spirit quickened that verse for me. For you, Watoto. About this time, you will see something of the goodness of God in Jesus' name. And look what the Bible says. No, she says, my Lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant. She was saying, I don't want to get my hopes up. It was every woman's dream in that day, in that age, in that culture, to bear a child, to see generations to come after them. It was the way in which she also knew that her children would take care of her in her old age. No, don't get my hopes up. Don't break my heart. But the Bible says, but the woman became pregnant. She goes, about the same time next year, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Now, the Bible doesn't give her, this boy rather, a name. The Bible doesn't say what the boy's name is. So I've decided this morning, I'm going to give the boy a name. Is that okay? So I'm going to give him the name Potential. Everybody say Potential. If you like, you could give him the name Increase, Expansion, Growth, Breakthrough, Hope. Amen? Legacy. But we're going to call him Potential. And the child grew. How many people here have children? Let me see your hand if you have children. Okay. How many thank God that those children do grow? It says the child grew. In other words, potential grew. We can give him another name. Provision. Provision grew. And I think about this church and I'm telling you, provision is growing. Amen. And it says, one day he said to his father who was with the reapers, my head, my head. And he said to his father, and the father said, take him to his mother. Like all good dads know what to do. When the children are in trouble, you send them to mom. And all the men said, and all the women said, do you know, my wife has taught me, she said to me, she goes, Steve, have you ever noticed in the Bible that wisdom is always identified in Scripture as a she? It says, say to wisdom, thou art my sister. Tie her around your neck. She is more precious than rubies. She is more valuable than gold. Wisdom cries in the street and nobody hears her. So she goes, according to the Bible, wisdom is a she. And every time I looked up, the mention of the word wisdom was always associated to a woman. But then my wife also pointed out to me, have you also ever noticed in the Bible that foolishness is always identified as a he? And I looked it up. She's right. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. A fool shows his annoyance at once. So wisdom is a she and foolishness is a he. My wife taught me that. Then my wife taught me something else. She said, do you realize that the sex of every baby in its earliest gestation period, when that baby is first formed within its mother's womb, is always female? And it's only when it becomes a boy in the first few weeks, there is this rush of testosterone that goes from one side of the brain to the other. And in doing so, it kills millions of brain cells. She goes, all boys are born brain damaged. Medically speaking, that is absolutely true, by the way. So I've lost all the brothers. I've lost all the men. I'm going to help you out, man. When girls, when you say to us, when we look like we're deep in thought, and you ask us, what are we thinking? And we say nothing? No, really, we can do that. Matter of fact, if you ever say to us, how could you be so thoughtless? How could you be so dumb? We just say, can't help it. We were born brain damaged. The father told the servant, carry him to his mother. And after the servant lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she went and shut the door. I want to talk to you this morning about this thought that I believe the Holy Spirit's given me for you, about the need to keep on pushing, to understand that God wants to do something. He wants to bring provision in your life. He wants to bring increase and breakthrough and expansion, not just of a building, but of you individually. What God does in your life individually is now telling the story of who Watoto is and what Toto is doing. So I'm not going to preach just yet. Is that okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of background first, then I'm going to preach. Are you ready? Okay, so here's the first thing. As I read this story, I see some wisdom principles. Number one, I want you to notice here, it says in verse 8, and it fell upon a day. There was no special day. There wasn't like there was a conference. It wasn't like there was a special seminar. It wasn't like there was something that everybody had to get to get this breakthrough that she got. It just fell upon her day. It wasn't a new moon. And I believe with all my heart, sometimes we will miss out on God's potential and God's breakthrough if all we ever do is look for an event. If I could just get that person to pray for me, if I could only get that job, if I could only be over there, if only I didn't marry her. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, and I believe it's true, that success is found in being faithful in everyday routine. You see, it just fell upon a day. There was no special day. This man of God comes through. She sees he's a man of God, gives him a meal. She's being available to be kind and generous in everyday life. She didn't give him that first meal thinking, this will give me a son. She just did what she could with what she had, and she did something good. When I first became a Christian, I was 17 years of age. And the youth leader that night told me, Steve, you should go to a Bible study, to a young people's community group. And so I said, okay, I will. And I went into the Bible study, and I saw the cutest girl I've ever laid eyes on in my whole life. And I did not know that that night would be the night that I would meet my future wife, the mother of our three children, the grandmother of our four grandchildren. There's nothing special about it. It was just being faithful. I was encouraged to go to a community group. Little did I know, just by being faithful in the day-to-day life, that I would meet my life's partner for 36 years. We've been married. Come on, somebody. We all think it's somewhere out there. We all think it's something out there. But can I tell you something? Just be faithful in everyday routine, and God will bless you. Amen. Number two, I'm not preaching yet, okay? This is just me sharing, okay? Here's the second thought. You ready for it? That not only do we need to be faithful in everyday routine, but the Bible talks about Elisha, and Jesus refers to him as a prophet, an anointing that was sent. And I want you to notice that actually, the Bible says here, Elisha was a prophet who had a double portion of Elijah. And the Bible says that that prophet didn't just turn up in places, he was sent. Prophets are sent. And the arrival of the prophet meant the arrival of the anointing. Because the prophet arrived, because the man of God arrived, it meant God brought his anointing. The arrival of the anointing to this woman. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want God sending an anointing to me. Thank God what he's doing in Russia. Thank God what he's doing in China. But right here in Uganda, God has sent an anointing for you in your home, in your family. Third thing I see about this, and I'm going to preach in just a minute. Give me a minute. I want to give some background to this. Number one, the timing of God. The timing of God is being faithful in everyday routine. Number two, the arrival of the prophet meant it was the arrival of breakthrough. It means now potential is present. It means now provision is present. It means now breakthrough is present. Amen. God sent it. Here's the third thing. You got to look at the place. The place is called Shunem. Now, let me think about this. In terms of the place here, Shunem was not the main town. Notice this prophet had to pass through Shunem to get to where he wanted to go. Shunem was not the main town. It was a border town to the main town. But this anointing, this prophet, had to pass through Shunem to get to where he wants to go. The meaning of the word Shunem means an uneven or not a level place. It had hills and valleys, and it wasn't level. In other words, how many times have you thought, I thank God again for what he does in other nations. I thank God for what he does, but I want God touching me where I live. I don't want to be on the edge of breakthrough. I want that anointing in my life. Shunem. Now listen to this. I'm going to start preaching just now. You ready for this? So we understand the timing of God is being faithful in everyday routine, getting out of bed, going to work, going to school, and that's how God brings provision. That's how God brings potential. Amen. being faithful in everyday life. Number two, we understand that the arrival of the prophet meant it was the arrival of potential. Amen. We understand Shunem was not the main town, but the prophet had to go through here to get to where he was going. The problem is this woman realized this is a man of God. And I don't just want him coming for a meal. Every time this man comes, he brings the presence of God. There's an anointing. Something's on this man's life, and I want more, because he's bringing God, and I want more. I want God not just staying for a meal. I want this in my house. She turns to her husband, and she says to her husband, the place where we live is too small. Ever since this anointing, ever since this man of God brought the presence of God, I'm suddenly looking at our life, and we've given him a meal and he stays, but I don't want him just to come for a meal. I want to build a room on top of the house. I want to push out the boundaries and the limitations, so this man won't just stop for a meal, but what this man is and what he brings and what he represents, I want this living in my house. The place where we have is too small. I want to speak to you, Wototo. And I know that your pastors have a vision for 30-some campuses right here in Uganda. And thank God for all that he's done. But I've come to tell you, come on, you got to push against the limitations. You got to be willing to keep on pushing. Where what you're doing today is small compared to what God wants to do in the future. And the very fact that this man of God brought the presence of God, this woman realized it's too small. We got to push. We got to lift off the roof. We got to make room for God. I want God. Come on, somebody say amen. I love it because she says we need to expand. We need to work against the limitations. We need to make room for God. Amen. That's why you do things like Father's Heart. That's why you do things like send these children and the choirs around the world. That's why you have villages and education and mentoring and discipleship. And I want to tell you, that's why you had your miracle offering. What are you doing? You're pushing. You're pushing. You're coming against smallness because you know God is big and God is able. Come on, somebody. Everybody say push. Come on, say push. You got to push. If you come from a small thinking family, you come from a lot of need and a lot of poverty, you've got to resist smallness. You got to push. You got to realize when God turns up, he wants to do something big. Come on, somebody. That's what this prophet meant. God is going to do something big. The Bible tells me she begins to feed the prophet. She began to feed. Jesus said, only one to whom the anointing was sent. She starts feeding the anointing. I've discovered something. Whatever you feed comes back. You ever fed a stray cat? You feed the cat and that cat's back the next day. Amen. She was feeding the anointing. Can I tell you, when you give to this miracle offering, you are feeding the anointing. Amen. You are giving to your potential. You are giving to your breakthrough. It's not just corporately what a church is able to do, but every time you step up, be faithful in everyday routine and do what you can with what you have, you are feeding the anointing. Being here this morning, you are feeding the anointing. Jenna, my wife, she's a great mom. She's the best mom in all the world, in my opinion, to the mother of our children, best wife in all the world. One Saturday morning when our kids were teenagers, she decided that she would do something special for our three children. She decided she'd make chocolate chip pancakes. Chocolate chip pancakes is always the will of God. And so they were so good that our three children said, Mom, this is great. Can we do this again next Saturday? And my wife, being a good mother and kind, says, of course we can. They said, Mom, it was so good. Could we invite our friends to come and have chocolate chip pancakes? My wife, who's not just good, but she's wise, said you can all bring one friend. So if we have three children and they can all bring one friend, how many young people should have been in our house? Six. Do you know how many came? 18. And from that day, in their high school years, right through high school, almost every Saturday, we had chocolate chip pancakes with a house full of young people. Anything you feed comes back. If you want crazy people out of your life, quit feeding them. Just turn to the person next to you. Say, that's for you. I want to put it this way. Whatever you want, you have to feed. If you quit feeding it, it'll stay away. Come on, somebody. But notice now that Elisha wants to give back. And he says, what can I do for this woman? Because remember, the way in which you respond to God determines the way in which God will respond to you. So she blessed the prophet. She fed the anointing. But when you sow, you shall reap. And I love this here because he wants to do something for her. And I think it's really sad because the Bible says, she said, I don't need anything. I'm good. I'm a well-to-do woman, the Bible says. They had the means even to resist smallness and make a room to make their house bigger for this anointing to stay. Not just visit, but to be in a house every day. But the Bible says when the opportunity came for God to bless her, she said, I'm good. And Elisha said, well, what can be done for her? I think it's the saddest verse in all the Bible. That here is God, the anointing. The arrival of the prophet meant potential is present. Breakthrough and provision was there. And now this anointing is going, what can I do for you? I'm good. I don't need anything. But the Bible says Gehazi. Gehazi, his name literally means seer in the low places. This woman was so used to living in lack, she didn't know what she lacked. She had no son, and her husband is old. I guarantee you, she prayed as a younger woman for a child. I guarantee you, she would have desired one, but she's so used to not having it that she lost her dream. She lost her hope. And now even when the prophet comes and says it's going to happen, she doesn't believe it. Do you know sometimes we can live with a sickness and then we can say, anybody sick and you need healing, lift your hand. Sometimes you can so get used to living with what you have that you don't even lift your hand for a healing anymore. Sometimes we're so used to living in lack, we don't even know what we lack anymore. Sometimes maybe an unsaved brother, an unsaved sister, maybe friends that don't yet know Jesus, and we're so used to them not being in the kingdom, we don't pray for them anymore. We stop and we don't know what we lack. Wetono, I've come this morning to tell you, push! Resist the smallness that the world tries to put you in. Here's the next thing I see in the story. What she's married to doesn't have the capacity to give birth or reproduce. The Bible says here, listen to this, that her husband was old. You can be married to an old way of thinking. You can be married to an old teaching and an old theology. You can have a heart for the new, as this woman did, but married to the old. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Married to an old church mentality, married to an old theology, and yet this woman had a heart for the new, but she was married to the old. I love it here because the arrival of this anointing is sent to bring her out of limitation. About this time, next year, you will hold a son in your arms. Amen. And let me just finish this message real quick. I'm going to need a couple of people here with an illustration. Jules, I'm going to ask you, would you come and join me on the stage? Jules, come over here. And you as well, my Brian, right? Yeah, come up here, Brian. Give these guys a hand. Come on. So So which one of you is going to be the boy? We'll make you the boy and we'll make you the prophet. Is that okay? So she knows. She has a heart for the new, but she's married to the old. But thank God, God sees you in your low places when you can't see yourself. And God knows what you need even when you don't know what you need. And the Bible says the child grew and he was working with his dad at harvest time. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when you're no longer feeding your children and providing for their needs, but now your children are actually in the harvest with the reapers. And the Bible says the boy cried, "My head, my head." Just give us a good cry. My head, my head.
My head, my head.
Watch this. It was harvest time. The enemy will always attack your potential at harvest time. And he goes after your thinking at harvest time. Don't give in that offering. Back down. Slow down. Why do we need this many campuses? Why are we doing this? Why? Well, how much more can we do? When is enough enough? Your thinking can get jacked up. But the arrival of the prophet, she had a heart for the new. Yep. The Bible says that the boy died. So show me your best impression of being dead. Praise the Lord. That's good. Now, you're dead. You're not allowed to move. You're dead. So I need you to stay there just for a minute, and I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish. Watch this. Watch this. I haven't read these Bible verses. I want to read them to you now. The Bible says the woman goes and speaks to the prophet. And the Bible says that they asked, "Is everything okay?" And do you know what this woman said? "All is well." Listen to this. Nothing is more important in your life than how you see the situation. The Bible says the boy died. The Bible says the father said to the wife, "Why are you going to the prophet? He's dead." If someone's dead, there he is, dead. You'd bury him. You'd begin the embalming process. You'd call in family and friends and loved ones, and you'd be grieving and you're mourning. But notice where she put the boy. The Bible says she picked up the boy and she carried the boy to the place where she pushed, to the place where she made room for God, and she laid the boy on the prophet's bed. Can I tell you, the devil would love you to back down. The devil would try to get you to retreat, but don't you retreat in Jesus' name. What do? When you feel like your potential is dead, what do when you feel like your dream has died? The Bible says she went and she placed the boy on the place where she got a heart for the new. She said, "I'm not going to go back to the old way. God gave me this boy, and I'm going to go to the man of God, and I just know if I can get to him." She didn't believe the boy was dead. She thought the boy was just asleep. And the Bible says that the prophet came, and I want to read it now. I want you to see this. It says, he went in and he shut the door, and the two of them prayed to the Lord. Now watch this. And then he got on the bed and he laid upon the boy. Can you see where this is going? Now look what the Bible says. It was mouth to mouth. We're not doing that. It said it was eye to eye. It said it was hand to hand. And Elisha stretched himself out. If you want to be a leader, you got to let God stretch you. Push! He stretched himself out upon the boy, and it was eye to eye. It was hand to hand. It was chest to chest. We're not doing mouth to mouth. Give these guys a hand. Stay facing each other. Jules is loving this. Look at me now. How do you get your potential back? How do you get your provision back when you've been attacked? What do? You don't back down. You don't stop going to church. You keep on pushing. You keep on pushing. And you get your dead dream, your dead son back under the anointing, the leader that God brought the breakthrough in the first place. And you put yourself under the covering of the leaders of the church. And look what the Bible says here now. It says, Elisha laid upon the boy. He stretched himself out over the boy. And then the Bible says he got up and he walked around the room and he prayed. And then one more time, he laid upon the boy, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand. Listen to it. How do you know if your potential is under a leader? When it's eye to eye, when you see things the way your leader sees them, when it's mouth to mouth, when what's coming out of your mouth is what's coming out of your leader's mouth, when it's hand to hand. Well, I don't know, Pastor, why are we doing this? I think we should be doing that. No, you know that you are under godly potential and leadership when what your leader touches, you're going to touch. Come on, somebody. And watch as I close. Watch this. Elisha turned away and he walked back and forth the room. He got on the boy one more time. And the Bible says, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Give us 7 sneezes. And he's alive! Come on, Watoto! Get yourself back under the anointing. Get yourself in the house of God. What the vision of this house wants to touch, you touch. What is the vision of this house? You speak it just like your leader spoke it. Come on. You see things. Well, I don't see it that way. No, that's right. Get under. And God will bring even that which is dead and lost, and he'll bring it back to life again. Do you receive the word? Come on, do you receive the word? Up there in the balcony. I've just come all the way from the United States to tell you, you got to push. You got to resist smallness. Don't let the family place that you grew up in determine the potential that God has for you. Don't let the limitations of life determine what God can do in your life. You got to keep on pushing. Once God is doing something, the arrival of the anointing is present and God wants to bring breakthrough in Jesus' name. Give a Lord a hand if you receive it. Come on. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God praise. Amen. Here we go. We got the keyboard player there. Amen. Fantastic. Where were you? Were you out back smoking cigarettes? Is that where you were? Good to have you, man. How many think he's fantastic? Come on. How many love this church? Come on. Everybody say, push! I want to encourage you. You keep pushing for breakthrough. You keep pushing. You feed that anointing. You be faithful in everyday routine. You'd be amazed what God can do. If you'll just turn up, God will show up in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just do what you can, God will take care of the rest. I want to pray for people this morning. I want everybody to look at me. I know it's a scary thought, But look at me. I wonder this morning, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? I love to see people find Jesus. That means more to me than anything in all the world. To give people the opportunity to know that God loves you. I love what Pastor Gary said. Hey, look at me. God is not mad at you. When you woke up this morning, God smiled. He's awake. You ever do that with your own kids? When your little child wakes up and you can't wait for them to wake up, you put a smile on God's face when you woke up this morning. You say, Steve, you don't know how bad I've been. Let me tell you something. People say this, church is full of hypocrites. I go, yes, and there's room for you. Steve, I don't think, let me get myself together. Let me get myself together. Then I'll come to God. Then I'll come to church. If you could have got yourself together, you'd have done it by now. God knew we could never pull ourselves together. God in His grace and God in His mercy sent Jesus to die for our sins. And all you got to do is come to Him just the way you are. And He loves you and He accepts you. You say, Steve, I've already made a decision, but I've turned from God. Let me tell you, He's a God of the second chance. He's a God of the third chance. He's a God of the fourth chance. How many chances do you need? God today is reaching out to you. Jesus loves you. And I want to pray for you this morning. Are you going to believe with me, church, that people are going to meet Jesus? All right, that was your moment to respond in faith. Are you going to believe with me, church, people are going to meet Jesus? I don't know how you came to be here this morning. I don't know who brought you, but I do know this. It's not by coincidence you're here today. That God wants you to know He has a plan for your life. That God has a great purpose. And it starts by giving your life to Jesus. Going to church does not make you a Christian. It'll help you stay one, but it doesn't make you one. Going to Kentucky Fried Chicken does not make you a chicken. Have you, look at me now, have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus?
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.